A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. We are still worshiping online because of the current restrictions. I wish on behalf of the congregation to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. And I wish to kindly invite us to wait after the service for conversations in breakout rooms. Let us now listen to our call to worship.
Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 71. As for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation, all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God, you who have done great things. Our first hymn this morning is that exhortation to praise that Lord, to join in this calling. First hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Let us pray. Let us come before God with our opening prayers and our prayers for confession of sins. Loving and faithful God, we come into your presence rejoicing. We come to sing your praise. We come to hear your words of power. We come to share your all-embracing love. Be present with us in this time together as we come to worship you. Called to be your people, called to walk the way of Jesus, we come with the offering of ourselves and seeking your words of comfort and challenge. Living Jesus, we praise you because you show us that God is love, love which reaches to all people, love which does not count the cost of loving, love which never ends. Forgive us when we love ourselves and not you. We praise you because you are the way, you are the way to God. You lived the way we want to live. You guide us on God's way of life. Forgive us when we take our own way and not yours. We praise you because you are the truth. You are the truth about God. You show us the truth. Forgive us, O Father, when we have not lived that truth which you show us. Forgive us when we think we know better than your truth. We praise you because you are the life. You lived life perfectly without sin. You give us the example for life. You help us to live our life to the full. Forgive us when we live for ourselves and not for you. Loving God, help us to respond to your promise and challenge of discipleship and renew us in your service. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, worthy is the Lamb.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. first reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5, reading from verses 1 to 11. Luke 5, 1 to 11. Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lakes of Gennesaret, the people were crowded around him and listened to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were John and James, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up onto the shore, left everything, and followed him. The next reading is from Jeremiah chapter 1, reading from verse 4. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 10. The call of Jeremiah. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Alas, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I am too young.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am too young. You must go everywhere I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.' Amen." And may the Lord add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. We will now sing "Saviour, While My Heart Is Tender."
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, illumine the sacred page, we pray, that our minds may be open to receive your word, our hearts taught to love it, and our wills strengthened to obey it. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The Lord said to Jeremiah, I chose you before I gave you life. And before you were born, I selected you to be a prophet to the nations. But Jeremiah answered, Ah, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. Dear Christian friends, how often do we feel inadequate like Jeremiah when we are called to some duty or towards a particular duty or cause for the good of humanity? That feeling of inability to deal with a situation or with life because of a perceived lack of the quantity or quality that is required to do it. Or simply because we don't just feel like doing what we are seemingly urged to do. We feel that we are not capable of doing it. The story is told of a guy who, while walking through an intersection in a large city, noticed a police officer directing traffic in the middle of the street. As he walked by, the man sensed the Holy Spirit prompting him to go up to the officer and tell him that God loved him. The man dismissed the impulse and kept walking. Haunted by the continued sense that he had been disobedient to the Spirit, he finally walked back to that intersection up to the officer and said, Excuse me, officer, but God just told me to tell you that he loves you. Tears began to trickle down from under the cop's mirrored sunglasses. Traffic stopped. And with a broken voice, the officer said, I prayed to God for the first time in a long time last night and told him that if he was real, the last he could do was to send someone to tell me that he was there for me. Within a matter of minutes, the officer called for backup and then prayed to receive Christ right there on that street corner. Tom Messer comments on that story in the following words. When I heard that story, I was mesmerized, to say the least. It was one of the most amazing and powerful conversion stories I had ever heard. The speaker closed his message to our group that evening, saying, Now go out and witness to people. So, continues Messer, we were all looking for cops all week. Friends, I am not asking you to go looking for cops to evangelize, because these are not the only people that need to hear the word of God. But I wish to illustrate the fact that there are so many people out there hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and we need to feel their need. And a real question for us this morning is, have you ever had a feeling of inadequacy or tried to resist a call to a certain necessary vocation or a call to do something helpful in your life or in the life of somebody or even in the life of the community in which you live? Now, the evangelist in that story was not a minister or a pastor who had been called to ministry. Was just a guy through whom God spoke to bring salvation to somebody that day. He could have been a medical doctor or a teacher or a nurse, an estate agent, an engineer, a university professor. Each of us have a call, no matter the field of work in which we find ourselves. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, I chose you before I gave you life, and before you were born, I selected you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, friends, the context of Jeremiah's call was one in which the nation of Israel was torn apart, and the northern tribes had been carried off into exile. In the southern kingdom, more evil kings had been on the throne than good ones. However, Jeremiah was called into his prophetic ministry during the reign of Josiah, one of the good kings. But his work would continue through four more regimes, and he will see the last of Judah's kings carried off to Babylon. He will witness the destruction of the temple and the people of Judah being led into captivity. No wonder he was reluctant to answer the call, much as Moses was reluctant to respond to his particular calling centuries before. Sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am too young. And like Jeremiah, we are often called to take some responsibility, and most often we resist. So how often do we find ourselves called into a line of duty we had never considered, given work that we never, in our wildest dreams, ever thought we would do? And how often do we start out with complaints? It seems to be a part of our human nature to be reluctant and to complain, to resist, and even to be complacent. One person who actually puts that feeling into context, and rather pathetically, is Lynn Twist. This is what she writes. For me and for many of us, our first waking thought of the day is, I didn't get enough sleep. The next one is, I don't have enough time. Whether true or not, that thought of not enough occurs to us automatically before we even think to question or examine it. We spend most of the hours and the days of our lives hearing, explaining, complaining, or worrying about what we don't have enough of before we even sit up in bed, before our feet touch the floor. We are already inadequate, already behind, already losing, already lacking something. And by the time we go to bed at night, our minds are racing with a litany of what we didn't get or didn't get done that day. We go to sleep burdened by those thoughts and wake up to that reverie of lack. This internal condition of scarcity, this mindset of scarcity lives at the very heart of our jealousies, our greed, our prejudice, and our arguments with life. Twist is right, or is she not? We all live with that sense of inadequacy, and even Christian people hardly think of the supernatural presence and power of God to give us the strength and the wisdom that we need to navigate life or to do what He has called us to do. Instead, our first instinct is often, I cannot do it. The task is too difficult for me, the burden too heavy to bear. I cannot face the crowd to read a lesson in a church service. I cannot even venture to talk to anybody in this country about Jesus. These people are too postmodern and can never accept Jesus Christ and His word. Or we say to ourselves, I cannot preach, I can't lead a service. Those doing it have a gift, I don't. Please don't ask me to do it. I'm too young. And these Christians or church members, they would never listen to anyone. So I'm not going to waste my time talking to them about anything, even if I feel I need to do it. Is that how somebody listening to me this morning feels? The feeling of inadequacy. But you would agree with me, as I am going to urge you to, that sometimes we realize, after all our resistance and sense of inadequacy, that God had been equipping us for years for that specific task, but we remained indifferent and reluctant to take the initiative. There are many great and faithful people who would have joined the ministry of word and sacrament and helped sustain God's church if they listened to the voice of God when he spoke to them. Others left it too late, and others still were frustrated by the unnecessary administrative bottlenecks of the church. My point is not to argue about the ways in which institutional politics can frustrate our calling, but how we ourselves sometimes fail to take action when God calls us. Is God calling you to some vocation or duty? It is never too late. Maybe you are burning with passion for the word of God and you want to see many people go to heaven, but you are reluctant to speak to anybody because you are afraid or shy to do so. Maybe God has clearly called you to a certain vocation and you need to speak out or speak into some serious issues that need to be addressed, but you are resisting the call. Is it something that might be tearing your family apart or other family that you know? Or some advice that may help somebody in some specific ways and you are not sure of yourself and or whether they will listen to you? You think you don't even have the right words to pass across your message? Or do you desire to be a lay preacher or even to go to the ministry, to join the ministry? There is a desire to share the word of God or read lessons and pray, but you lack the confidence to do it. There are many Jeremiahs in our world, and their sense of inadequacy or shyness is delaying the coming of God's reign of justice and peace to this dark world of sin. But I hope you will take great courage from the words of God to Jeremiah, which I want you to make yours this morning. Do not say that you are too young or lack the words or that you are inadequate, but go to the people I sent you to and tell them everything I command you to say. Do not be afraid of them, for I will be with you to protect you. I am giving you the words you must speak. Today I give you authority over the nations and kingdoms to uproot and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Sounds like a sermon to young ordinance into the ministry of word and sacraments. But I'm talking to people of different walks of life whom God has called to rescue humanity in many different ways. And I am talking by the grace of God to would-be church ministers of the word and sacraments. Time and again, God calls his people to repentance and faithfulness and gives us a task. Even when we fail and turn away, he does not give up on the people he loves. Once again, he calls someone to speak his words into the ears and hearts of his people. May God help us to overcome our sense of inadequacy. Let us pray. Please pray with me. Dear Jesus, when I look at the glory of your creation, my mind fills with admiration and my heart fills with wonder. How could I applaud all of your work and fail to recognize it in my own life? I forget that you've changed me. that you loved me when no one else did, and you love me when no one else does, that you, the Most High God, chase after me because I am important to you. Help me remember you have a work to do in me and through me. Please help me to see just how precious I am to you, that you started a good work in my heart and you've promised to complete it. May I boldly embrace each opportunity to reveal your divine design. These and many more I ask in the great name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next hymn, Praise the Lord, Ye Heavens, Adore Him.
We come together now with our prayer to dedicate the gifts we have given to God, whether monetary or in service, and to pray for others in this world. Let us pray. Modelling ourselves on you, may these offerings of ours become a source for hope and love in this church family and in the community beyond us. We dedicate these gifts to the work of this congregation, weaving a tapestry compassion and action. God of grace, accept what we offer to you in the name of Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, creator of the earth, if we could take the whole world's needs and sorrows to heart, we would become crushed by their enormity. As we begin to pray for others, guide us to discern those things we can achieve, and give us the wisdom to leave the remainder in your loving and redeeming hands. Loving God, with our small assistance or without it, please bless those hordes of people who are hungry, homeless, without family or homeland. Bless the injured and the diseased, the handicapped, and those who suffer grievous mental or emotional illness. Bless the lonely people, whether they stand isolated in large crowds or whether they timidly hide away from others. Bless the pained souls who exist without any faith or hope, especially those who today may contemplate suicide. Bless the dying and those who sit with them, and the dead and those who weep for them. Bless all those people of goodwill who try to rectify the world's ills and sometimes get abused for their trouble. God, our most holy friend, be to all of us a strength in weakness, a light in darkness, peace in anxiety, a courage in upheaval, and a robust joy in our happiness. As Jesus called his disciples to leave their nets and boats and follow him, we pray for those we love and who have answered your call to follow Jesus to your heavenly kingdom, and for those yet to answer that call. Give them all your peace. We pray for this incoming week, the week of prayer for Christian unity, with its theme this year of "Abide in my love and you shall bear much fruit," when churches and denominations around the globe come together in a common purpose. The news of the world is on our radios, televisions, laptops, phones, newspapers, and word of mouth. We hear of protests in streets. We hear of the breaking of guidelines and laws to curtail the coronavirus pandemic. We hear of rage and violence in the United States, including that shocking invasion of the US Capitol. The news tells the death from COVID-19, the overflow in hospitals. We pray for the teams that know no border at the bedside, vaccine clinic, or as first responders. We are hopeful for the multitude of COVID vaccines coming to communities. We call for equity in vaccine distribution as developing nations manifest such a great need. Unify in us in this time of horrendous loss of life and the devastation that has reached in some way into each of our homes and neighbourhoods and circles the globe. Help us to forgive one another as we are sheltered and made whole by your great love. Help us to repair, restore, and amend what is ours to do. Lord, in your great compassion, hear us in all our prayers. Amen. Our next hymn is "Souls of Men, Why Will Ye Scatter?"
Thank you.
Let us now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our final hymn as we bring our service to its close, When We Walk With the Lord. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.